And turn with me in your copy of the scriptures to Jeremiah chapter 7, where we have been studying and examining together Jeremiah's sermon at the temple. And you'll remember the scenario that the scripture paints for us, the people of Judah, the men of Judah, going up to the temple to celebrate one of the feasts that God has appointed for his people. They're going through a ritual with which they're very familiar. All is perhaps very regular and routine, except that as they arrive at the temple, they are confronted with God's spokesman, Jeremiah, who preaches to them, and his word is not a comforting word, it is a challenging word. And in the early part of the chapter, we unpacked some of the things that Jeremiah had to say to them by way of that sermon. And then as we move further into the chapter, as Jeremiah seemingly describes the aftermath, we hear other things that Jeremiah has to say to these ones, these would-be worshippers. So this evening, Jeremiah chapter 7, and we read verses 21 through 29. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, add your burnt offerings to your sacrifices and eat the flesh. For in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, I did not speak to your fathers or command them concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices, but this command I gave them, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the way that I command you, that it may be well with you. But they did not obey or incline their ear, but walked in their own counsels and the stubbornness of their evil hearts, and went backward and not forward. From the day that your fathers came out of the land of Egypt to this day, I have persistently sent all my servants, the prophets, to them day after day. Yet they did not listen to me or incline their ear, but stiffened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. So you shall speak all these words to them, but they will not listen to you. You shall call to them, but they will not answer you. And you shall say to them, this is the nation that did not obey the voice of the Lord their God, and did not accept discipline. Truth has perished. It is cut off from their lips. And so we have the word of our God. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that in these days we hear the word of your truth. We pray that we might have ears to hear, and we ask that we might recognize the high privilege that we have of hearing your word. We pray that we would not take that privilege lightly, that we would not regard it with a frivolous attitude. We pray rather that we would come to your word with earnest attentiveness, desiring that we might understand, but looking to you, praying that you would give us the understanding we need. And we ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. So what happens when you show up and God isn't there, or at least not in the way that you'd expected? One of my brothers in presbytery and I get together several times a year for lunch and fellowship. We meet on alternating locations. One time we'll meet in Silver Spring. That's very convenient for me. He comes to meet up with me. We eat lunch in Silver Spring. The next time I go to somewhere near where he pastors, and we have lunch there. A few months back, when he and I were scheduled to meet, I arrived at the meeting place in his territory. I waited for my friend to show up. He did not arrive. The designated time came and passed, and he was not there. And then my phone rang. And it was my friend, and he was almost at Silver Spring when he realized that he was at the wrong location. And he was able to turn around, and he was able to make his way to where I was, and we were able to go ahead and have lunch and fellowship together just a little bit later than we had anticipated. The men of Judah were not so fortunate. The men of Judah have shown up at the temple expecting to meet with God, expecting to worship God. It's a feast time, so they're expecting to feast with God. And when they arrive there at the temple, they discover that God's not there, at least not there in the way that they had expected. And God has a message for them. It's the message that's brought through the prophet Jeremiah. In verse 21, God says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, add your burnt offerings to your sacrifices and eat the flesh," and eat the flesh of those sacrifices. Here's Jeremiah's message from God to these would-be worshippers. They are coming with their sacrifices. Did you notice? Sacrifices and burnt offerings. The sacrifice is presented by the one who comes worshiping, and a portion of that sacrifice is eaten by the worshiper himself. He is feasting with God. The burnt offering, on the other hand, was different. The burnt offering was put on the altar. It was completely consumed. It was God's portion. It was the prime portion. It belonged to God. And so when the Lord of hosts says, add your burnt offerings to your sacrifices and eat the flesh, God is saying, go ahead without me. You can have my portion. I'm not coming. I'm not going to be here. It's all yours. Go ahead without me. I'm not interested in meeting with rebellious people like you. You can have my share. Go ahead without me. And when God doesn't appear like that, it's not because God has taken a wrong turning or somehow lost his way. It's because the people who have come to worship him have lost their way. In fact, says Jeremiah to them in verse 24, you have gone backward and not forward. They've taken the wrong path. They've taken a backward path, and it has led to disaster. They've missed their rendezvous. How did it happen? And our verses this evening kind of spell out what has happened with these people that's brought them to the wrong destination. It's brought them to the right place, to be sure, but it's not brought them into fellowship with God. The fellowship with God that they had anticipated, it's not going to happen because God says, you can go ahead without me. I'm not here. They refused direction. Three things that we want to see. They refused directions, verses 21 through 24. They ignored warnings, and they ended up in a bad place. So we want to see those three things. They refused directions, and Jeremiah traces their path, this backward path. Jeremiah traces it right back to the starting point. Listen to what he says in verses 22 through 24. God speaking, in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, I did not speak to your fathers or command them concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices, but this command I gave them, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk all the way that I command you, that it may be well with you. But they did not obey or incline their ear, but walked in their own counsels and in the stubbornness of their evil hearts, and went backward and not forward. They refused directions. The number one priority, and of course we think of the instructions given to God's people and all the instruction regarding how they were to worship him, but the number one priority, before we get into the nitty-gritty of sacrifices and ceremonial and all the rest of it, the number one priority is obey my voice. Obey my voice. Walk in the way that I will show you. Did the people of Israel do that? They did not. Ironically enough, the way was mapped out for them very vividly. Remember the pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire. Their feet followed the pillar of cloud. Their feet followed the markers that God appointed for them. But while their feet followed, their hearts didn't. Their hearts were left behind. Remember what God says later on in 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. Obedience is better than sacrifice. To listen is better than the fat of rams. You need to follow my direction. You need to obey me. And these people, ironically, they followed the pillar of cloud from Egypt to the land of promise. But while their feet followed, their hearts didn't follow. Their hearts went off in the wrong directions. And if their feet brought them to the right places, like the way in which now they've come up to the temple, if their feet brought them to the right places, their hearts were left behind. They came for the wrong reasons. Remember the words of Isaiah 29, verse 13. This people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They're not interested in following my directions. We heard the words of Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord as our call to worship. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. But these were people who had no intention of acknowledging God. These were people who went on their own, they went their own way. And yes, to be sure, they're showing up in the temple. They're in the right place, but they're there for the wrong reasons. Ever done the right thing for the wrong reasons? We all have, haven't we? You see, that's why the scripture makes gives such emphasis to the fact that true religion is not about going through the outward motions. True religion starts with a changed heart, a new heart. We must be born again. We must have hearts that are responsive to God. We must have hearts that acknowledge God. We need to have hearts that are responsive to His guidance, to His direction, that are open to His word, rather than hearts that are hardened, that go their own way. Jesus tells His disciples, if anyone would come after me, he needs to deny himself. Take up his cross and follow after me. The Holy Spirit, whom Jesus pours into the lives of his people, the Holy Spirit works in the hearts of the people of God. Paul, Galatians 5, verse 16, walk by the Spirit and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. Here were people who refused to follow directions. They wouldn't follow God's directions. Oh, yes. Their feet might have taken them the right places, but their hearts were left behind. And that's where we pray that God will work in our hearts so that we do the right things for the right motives. We do the right things out of a love for God, out of a desire to honor God. These people didn't. And not only that, but they ignored warnings. They were given warnings as they made their journey. God cared for them too much to allow them to stray away. Listen to verse 25. From the day that your fathers came out of the land of Egypt to this day, I have persistently sent all my servants, the prophets, to them day after day. From the time they left Egypt, God made it his business to send them prophet after prophet, spokesman after spokesman, to call them back to God's word, to direct them in right paths, time after time. The language almost pictures up the idea of the prophets ambushing the people, getting in front of the people when the people are apt to go off in a direction that's not going to be good. And suddenly there's God's prophet. And he's saying, don't do that. He's calling them back to obedience to the Lord. I remember when we were kids herding cattle, and I remember being the one with the bicycle, and as we herded the cattle along the roadway, can you believe that? I would ride on ahead, pedaling like mad, and when we come to a place where there was an open gate, I'd get off the bike and get in that gateway to keep the cattle from going in there. If there's a lane or a driveway, getting ahead of the cattle to get in that place so that they wouldn't go in there coming to the crossroads and getting off to direct, you know, can't go this way, you got to go that way. It's as if God's prophets were constantly doing that, trying to herd the people of God, prophet after prophet coming to rebuke the people for their wanderings, to direct them in the right way. Would the people hear? No, they did not. They resisted that prophetic admonition. Very energetic prophets. In fact, the end of the verse says, in a more literal way, if we're to look at verse 25, the New American Standard Version puts it more literally like this. God says, I have sent you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising early and sending them. Okay, there's a great picture of God. It's not just the prophets who have been very busy and who have been tireless. It's God who has been tireless. God, as it were, rises early to send out his prophets. That's a very encouraging verse for a preacher. Preachers get up early on Sunday mornings to make their final preparations for preaching to God's people. And the preacher is to be encouraged by the realization that before he gets up, God's up. Because God's the one who sends the preacher on his way. And God does that because God's concerned for his people. God doesn't lie in bed on Sunday morning, if we're to take what verse 25 says and transpose it into our context, into our setting. If we look for a prophetic ministry of God's word from the pulpits, then we may be sure that God doesn't lie in on Sunday mornings. God is up early getting his prophets ready, sending them out. That's a very encouraging picture. And pray for preachers. But then, of course, as the preacher appears, recognize that behind the preacher is the God who gets up early to send his prophets out about their business. Now, the people of Judah were unresponsive to the prophets. They didn't hear them, and we desire to have a better spirit than the people of Judah. John Calvin says that God rises to invite us and also to receive us wherever his word is proclaimed among us. And by this, he testifies to his paternal love. God is as a loving heavenly father. God makes it his business to rise up, to invite, and to welcome those who hear his word. What was the result of that in this case? Well, verse 26, the people, they did not listen to me or incline their ear. They stiffened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Each generation was worse than the one before. And Jeremiah joins that illustrious body of faithful prophets, faithful preachers, faithful teachers, faithful witnesses, whose words fell on deaf ears. Remember, God does not call you to be successful as someone who is a witness or as someone who is a teacher or someone who shares the gospel. God calls you to be faithful. He calls you to be faithful in making known the truth. That's your responsibility. It's the Holy Spirit who changes hearts. It's the Holy Spirit who brings about the inner work of regeneration that is necessary for sinners to be saved. And here's Jeremiah getting up faithfully, like generations of prophets before him. He's going to preach with God's at the impetus of God. God stands behind him. God's, as it were, pushing him out there. Jeremiah, off you go. Go and preach to them. Preach to them again. And Jeremiah preaches, and these people, like their predecessors, stiffen their necks, they harden their hearts, they don't listen. And Jeremiah is faithfully doing what God has called him to do. So be encouraged. Do what God calls you to do. Leave it to God to bring about the harvest. Remember Paul's words, one sows, another waters. It's God who brings forth the harvest. So be faithful in doing what God calls you to do. Trust God for the outcome. We heard the Lord Jesus lamenting over Jerusalem in the passage that we read from Luke chapter 13. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets, that stones those who were sent to it. That whole succession of people who bore witness to Jerusalem, who were greeted with hostility. And of course, right at the very end comes the Lord Jesus himself, the faithful spokesman of God who addressed the people of Jerusalem and who found the people of Jerusalem to be unresponsive to the message that he proclaimed. Jesus empathizes with the Jeremiahs of this world. So these ones, they ignored warnings and they ended up in a bad place. It's ironic in the last couple of verses, verses 27 and 28, physically they're where they ought to be. They're in the temple. It's a feast day. It's the place where they should be, but while physically they're in the right place, spiritually they're in the wrong place. God's appeals have fallen on deaf ears. Verse 27, you shall speak all these words to them, they will not listen to you. You shall call them, but they will not answer you. What's happened? They have a history of stopping up their ears to prophet after prophet until comes the time when their ears are deaf to the appeals of the likes of Jeremiah. It's like, I'm told that it's a very common thing to pretend to be making a telephone call when you really don't want to speak to someone who's in your vicinity. Or maybe you put in the earbuds, you see, and once the earbuds are in place, then nobody can expect you to be in conversation with them. And if the person makes bold to try and speak to you, turn the volume up to drown them out. And if you keep on doing that, you're going to destroy your hearing. You take those earbuds off. You're not going to be able to hear. And the person who speaks to you, you might want to hear what they're saying now, but you're not going to be able to hear it. These people, generation after generation, stopped up their ears to what God had to say, to the point where their hearing is so hardened, their hearts are so hardened, their ears are so hardened, they just simply don't hear. That's where we are called to be very responsive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. The children of God are led by the Holy Spirit. They have ears that are attuned to the promptings of the Holy Spirit as He speaks through His Word. Their ears are not plugged up. Their ears are inclined to hear the Holy Spirit prompt them through God's Word. Because the warning to us is that where we try to drown out God's Word, where we turn a deaf ear to God's Word, and you know how the Holy Spirit tweaks our consciences and points out the things that are wrong in our lives and directs us in the way that we should go. And sometimes our response is, well, not sure that I want to do that. And we turn up the volume. We distract ourselves with other things. We divert ourselves with other stuff. And yes, we get more nudges, more promptings from the Holy Spirit. We turn the volume up a little bit more. The danger is that the time will come when we're deaf to what the Holy Spirit has to say to us. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, writes Paul in Ephesians. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And here these people. These people have arrived at a bad place. Verse 28, you shall say to them, says the Lord, you shall say to them, this is the nation that did not obey the voice of the Lord their God and did not accept discipline, did not accept correction. Truth has perished. It is cut off from their lips. There's no place for truth among them anymore because they persistently resisted God's truth. Jeremiah, you're to say to them, this is the nation. Look at yourselves. Here's the nation that did not obey the voice of the Lord. The word that Jeremiah uses, that God puts in Jeremiah's mouth, is the word that's used for the Gentile nations. God's people have become just like the other nations on the earth that don't know God. Why is that? Because they would not obey the voice of the Lord their God. This is almost an epitaph. It's like one of those little roadside memorials that you see. Here are the people that would not listen. They wouldn't listen to the voice of God. They became spiritually dead, just like the nations round about them. And so we're reminded that the Lord Jesus graciously and gently addresses us as God's great prophet. He speaks words of life to us. He changes our hearts. He gives us the Holy Spirit and causes us to be responsive to His voice as He addresses us in His Word. He leads us by a good way so that we are brought into fellowship with God. What a wonderful thing it is to show up at a service of worship and realize God is here. What a glorious anticipation it is for us as we cherish the hope of glory, that when we pass from this life into the next, there we go to be with God. He's there to meet with us, to be with us, to be our God for all of eternity. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we ask that you would direct us in right ways, that we would not take the backwards path, that we would not find ourselves in the wrong place with wrong attitudes, with wrong hearts. We ask that by your grace we might be led constantly in such a way that we rejoice in sweet fellowship with you and anticipation of fellowship with you for all of eternity. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Our final praise tonight is number 599, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. 599 in the hymnal, will you rise to sing praise?